This morning's public reading during our Sunday school hour was taken from Psalm 67. And before I give some explanation, let me first warn you about a certain teaching that actually didn't enter the church until the middle of the 19th century. In the middle of the 19th century, and this first begins in England, and then eventually it crossed the pond, came to America, and by the early 1900s, really took off. And is quite prevalent today on Christian radio, YouTube, social media. Matter of fact, reference Bibles, the notes at the bottom of the page in many reference Bibles still perpetuate this teaching. This teaching was unknown to the church in the first 18 centuries of her existence. And here's the teaching. That God has two separate people that he deals with throughout time. You got the nation of Israel on one side, the ethnic people of Israel. And then on the other side is the church. And according to this teaching, God deals with these two separate peoples, these two separate institutions separately. Even in glory, they're going to be separated, even in heaven, believe it or not. You're going to have this distinction, even in the eternal state. That God has plan A for the Jews, and then God has plan B for the church. And plan B comes into play because when Jesus arrived here and he was teaching to the Jews eventually reject him. Jesus came, according to this teaching, Jesus comes to offer the nation of Israel a kingdom, the Davidic kingdom. And if they had accepted him, there would have been no Calvary, no cross, and Jesus would have began a 1,000 plus year kingdom on the earth with the Jews in Jerusalem as the capital of the world, and all the other nations would be beaten into subjection to Israel and to the capital there in Jerusalem. No joke. This is how it's taught, how it was taught in the middle of the 19th century. Well, since the Jews told Jesus to go take a hike and they murdered him, then God takes the nation of Israel and puts the nation on a shelf and takes the time clock and puts it on hold. And then God now redirects his attention to another people called the church because plan A failed. Now, chew on that. Jesus failed? He failed. They didn't accept him as a king, and therefore he couldn't usher in a kingdom. So now Jesus turns to plan B, and he turns to the church. And then eventually the church is going to go belly up, and they're going to fail. And so Jesus has to come and rapture the real faithful Christians. Then God takes Israel off of the shelf, hits from pause to play, and then God finishes out his plan of the ages. I was taught that stuff 50 years ago. I ate it. I drank it. I used to use it in order to get my foot in the door to share the gospel with lost people. Don't you want to know how the world's going to end? Everybody wants to know that. It's taken my wife and I 50 years to flush that down the toilet, that teaching. I no longer believe that. Now, here's proof. Part of this teaching states that the church is nowhere found in the Old Testament. The church is a New Testament entity. And nowhere in the Old Testament can you find the church. Well, here's a passage, I believe, where you do find the church. What is the church? The church is saved people from around the world. Not just Jews. Jews and non-Jews in the book of Acts were responding to the gospel. God told Abraham, through your seed, singular, Jesus, I'm going to bless all nations, not just Israel there in Palestine, not just one nation, all nations. And what do we find here? God be merciful unto us, plural, and bless us, that's a plural, cause his face to shine upon us. Well, who's the us in the context? That thy way may be known upon earth, not just in Palestine, thy saving health among whom? all nations, not just one nation. Because of Father Abraham's obedience to God in Genesis chapter 12 and forward in the book of Genesis, he becomes the spiritual father of all of us. And we're going to see this played out in our other reading of John chapter 8. Watch how this gets played out in John chapter 8. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. This is not limited just to one ethnic people that live on the planet. This includes you and I. And many of the Psalms, if this was a Psalm of David, this was written approximately 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. 1,000 years prior. And David here is telling us that God's program doesn't include two separate peoples, but one people. And if you and I are reformed, that one people happens to be the elect from all the nations of the world. All the nations. All of God's elect. White, black, blue, green, male, female, Jew, non-Jew. All peoples. Read on. Oh, let the nations, plural, not just one nation, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Part of this false teaching, some of those who teach this false teaching, and again, I did because that's all I was taught when I was 18, they teach that Jesus is not presiding over a kingdom even now. Jesus is like in suspended animation waiting for God the Father to tell God the Son, oh, go ahead and claim your kingdom. See, I believe Christ is ruling over his kingdom now from heaven, from the Father's right hand, and he rules and reigns, not with bullets and guns and planes and tanks. He rules in the hearts of his people. Beloved, that is central teaching in Reformed Presbyterianism as well as in Reformed Baptist circles. Many of the people who teach this false teaching, many, not all, but many, outwardly reject the doctrines of grace. 5 points of Calvinism. They totally reject it. So as time has gone on and as I have matured from 18 years old to 72, you got to stop and think, why would God teach something like this and at the same time reject how men and women are saved by the unconditional electing grace of God? There's a disconnect there with some of these people. Look at verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Not just one group of people, but all people. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth. Not just Palestine, not just Judea, not just Israel. All the ends of the earth shall fear him. And how was that done? Well, that's not done by governments passing laws. Beloved, when somebody is truly saved, and you correct me, when somebody is truly saved, God the Holy Spirit resides within that person now. And according to the new covenant, which Jesus brought into play, he writes his laws upon our hearts. Are we not the people of God? Is not Christ not only Lord and Savior, but King of his people? What did he tell the disciples in Matthew 28 before he departed back to the Father? He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That sounds like kingship. Jesus is not in suspended animation, sitting on the throne waiting for his Father to give him the kingdom. He was given that kingdom when he ascended. Now that's biblical, and that's also Reformed teaching. And so I wanted to show you Psalm 67. This seems to have a very wide universal appeal. It's not limited to one people. We find a very broad universal scope that all peoples and all nations, okay, would be blessed by heaven. And that blessing can only come through Christ by way of the gospel preaching. and sinners bowing their hearts and their knees to Him and Him alone. Now may God choose to bless His word. Amen.